Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we'll talk about one of the most amazing athletic feats of our lifetime.
Yes.
Accomplished by someone in this very room. But we're going to spend most of our time today visiting with our very special guest. It's the Chancellor of Arkansas State University. It's our buddy, Dr. Todd Shields.
Glad to be here. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, it was right after you got hired.
Yeah, almost 3 years ago.
3 years ago when you were in here last time.
August.
So that was kind of a get-to-know-you thing. And first off, can you believe it's been 3 years here at Arkansas State?
No, it seems like about a year, maybe a little year and a half, maybe, but not more than that. Time flies when you're having a great time.
What are you most proud of?
Really proud of the vet school, really proud of our growth and turnaround, really proud of the connections we made with the community and the community involvement, the partnerships we've had with industry, and super proud of how we're responding to these massive changes in college athletics.
Well, I guess we can talk athletics. For people that know my story, I worked in the department for 9 years. Left for nine, even though I didn't go far because I was always involved with it, and then came back. But what it came back to 3 years ago and what it left 9 years before that, I mean, we're worlds apart, and it's changed worlds even in the 3 years since. But it literally is a full-time job trying to just keep track of that. Like, what are the rules on a given day?
Well, that's the point. They change by noon, right? And that's not just A-State. Yeah. That's the whole country is trying to figure out what's going on. And I know a lot of schools that have basically just checked out. They've decided we're not doing athletics. So you can do a Google search and you can find places everywhere that are cutting sports or cutting entire athletic programs or telling their athletic program, you got to become profitable, figure it out. You're no longer part of the campus. I mean, just lots of dramatic changes because when people react to change, it's never easy. I like to look at change as an opportunity. I think that there's profit in chaos if we're strategic. I'm a military kid, so I moved every year and a half of my life, right? So change is kind of part of my DNA. So it doesn't really bother me as much as I know it bothers a lot of people. I think A-State has probably, when I talk to other chancellors in the Sun Belt and in the SEC, I think we've managed to come together to prepare to be adaptable, to change, and to do it the right way, probably better than anybody that I know of.
I'm impressed with how you're able to juggle everything that you do. And a big part of what you do is on the athletic side. It has turned into that, and especially in recent months. I mean, we're coming off arguably the best athletic season that we've had at Arkansas State University, just top to bottom.
Absolutely right.
It was a historic
year. Lots of standing ovations and applauses to the athletic department and the coaches, the players, all across the board. They've done a great job. They really have.
And I love the way you wrap your arms around athletics. And we had a change a couple of months ago when Jeff Purinton exits. You've got to fill that role. But in the meantime, and you kind of mentioned it before we started recording here, you had to put your AD hat on.
I had to learn a lot real fast. It was a lot that I did not know, and I was just trying to keep the lights going and everything moving. Good thing is there's a great group of people down there that know exactly what needs to be done, and they were doing what they kept on doing, and I think that we're going to get a great new AD in here pretty soon. In fact, he's made an offer on a home and should be here in the 1st of July. Not that I'm counting down, but I can't wait till Chris Pesman gets here.
So when those spots come open, and same with men's basketball and period, look, there are only so many chairs. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be a shortage of interest in one of those chairs when they come open. As you all went through the process, what made Chris Pesman stand out as the right guy at the right time?
So we did have a lot of applicants, a lot more than I anticipated with no experience and background in it. And then they all had a lot of great experiences at different levels of schools, sometimes many levels of schools. The thing that really stuck out about Chris was his personality and his experiences. His experiences were just perfect for a program that wants to build because he's been part of a program that built before. And his personality, I thought, this guy's going to work great with everybody in the community, with everybody at A-State, with the coaches, with everybody that I had heard from the staff and everyone that they were looking for. He just embodied it. And, you know, when he's been in Houston for a long time and Houston's making some changes, like one of the schools I mentioned, they're not necessarily going in the direction of athletics. They're moving more in the direction of academics. And a lot of schools are making that decision in light of the House settlement. And if you're an athletic director, it's not necessarily really where you want to be. But in our case, benefiting from that type of experience is going to be great for us.
We talked about it probably on here even when you guys made that announcement or knew Chris was the guy that David Rear, who obviously he hired away from Arkansas State mm-hmm. as the head volleyball coach, you know, texted me and couldn't say enough good things. And the thing he says, that every coach is going to love working with this guy. And you and I even talked about one time, there were sort of two things. That was one, is that do the coaches, you know, feel comfortable, they got a direct pathway. And then the other is that at Arkansas State, you're trying to, we're doing big time things, but you still can do it in the kind of the hometown way. So the AD at Arkansas State needs to kind of embrace the notion that you want people at the grocery store to stop you and want to talk about the Red Wolves. And I think, you know, Chris is going to be very comfortable in that situation.
He's going to be very comfortable. And to be honest, he missed that because he was in Houston. You know, you've got the Rockets and you've got all these other different things that are happening that are competing for anything that the University of Houston would do. And so that wasn't necessarily his role, although he would make it his role the best he could. Here he's going to have a much easier time doing that type of thing. And he relishes and wants to get back to that. So you're right. I think every coach, and we called every reference, staff and people that worked with them, and they all had wonderful things to say. He's got high standards, but he's empowering, he's supportive, he's encouraging, he's a very positive guy. If you name an emergency, he's seen it. And so he's very level-headed and says, okay, this is how we handled this before, don't worry. He's going to have a great steadying hand. Everyone's going to really like him a lot.
What I loved about it, reading the press release, even before we got to the press conference part, was all the quotes from all these names you knew. I mean, everybody from Kelvin Sampson to Willie Fritz, Carl Lewis.
I know. And, you know, when I was like, oh, my gosh, Carl Lewis said. And then, you know, I was around a bunch of other people at the athletic department. They're all like 25 years old. And they're like, who's Carl Lewis? I'm like, I don't want to talk to you anymore if you don't know Carl Lewis. I'm like, you're the fastest man on the planet. Come on.
Yeah, that was a big deal to read that. But and I'm sure you've got the same question. Just they want to know what the new guy's like. And what I've told people is I see a guy who's just genuinely excited to be here. And
he
you know people, you know he when
is.
People are faking it. He's not. You just sense a real enthusiasm for this opportunity. And you could tell he's ready to go.
He is very ready. I would say, and Matt, you'll have to tell me, but I think the last 3 weeks or so, I've probably talked to him six times a day. He is so excited about it, genuinely ready to get here, so excited about A-State. He's like me, loves building things, kind of loves the idea of starting and building something progress with all the potential that we've got and the momentum that we have building off that. He loves it. He's a very funny guy. He's cracking a joke all the time. He's always very optimistic, very outgoing. You're going to really, really like him.
And it shouldn't be lost on people that you know, you made a comment a while ago. You said he just made an offer on a house.
Yeah.
You did not say he just signed a lease on a house.
No.
He's a buyer, not a renter.
He's a buyer, yeah. They sold their house a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
No, but
I've been teasing him that he's been homeless for 2 weeks.
No, I say it. Say, like, this is not a stop off to get things revamped. He wants to come here and get this thing done.
He does. He absolutely does. And he really likes working at a place where you got a provost and a chancellor and a board of trustees that are so invested too, because increasingly that's a difficult combination to come by because there's so many changes and there's so many financial pulls in different directions. You could see board members or chancellors or presidents or provosts wanting to go different directions. And so having that kind of alignment here is a really big deal.
You know, you went through this transition and, you know, with Jeff leaving and looking for the new athletic director right in the middle of all this NCAA house settlement stuff. And it's been a lengthy process.
Yes.
And finally, a resolution has come about here. And a lot of people have seen the headlines. You know, you've got roster limits now, and there's no limit on the scholarships. But what do people need to know about this house settlement and everything that's kind of come about with it?
I think that Red Wolf fans, the biggest thing they need to know is that we are going to be increasingly working with the Red Wolf Foundation and the Impact Club. That's where it's going to hit home with them. And that the Impact Club is going to have a very close relationship with us going forward, but they're going to be really helping with athletes that are getting contracts with different companies. And then the campus will put those through a system, will be evaluated by Deloitte if it's fair market value. But what the Impact Club is not going to be doing is those monthly membership drives and those kinds of things. They'll be turning that kind of thing over to the Red Wolf Foundation so that we can put that into what it's called internally. They call it institutional NIL, but I'm calling it revenue sharing.
One thing that Brad and I have talked a lot about is donor fatigue.
Yes.
And it's got to be happening everywhere. Because you're getting asked from 15 different directions for money all the time. And in a lot of cases, you know, it's the same people that are being asked. And they've got to be tired of it. And I think this one pack, and this is one of the reasons we wanted to have you in today, is a really, really good thing because it's a university initiative. And I know it's focused on the fundraising aspect, but staff support, just the overall experience for not only the student athletes, but for the donors as well.
Yes, absolutely. Basically, what we saw was just what you had mentioned, that there might be a donor being approached by somebody in the agriculture college or engineering, but then also from a coach or then from the Impact Club or from the Red Wolf Foundation. And maybe for a kickoff event or Boots and Ballers or the Grand Slam event, just constantly death by a thousand cuts type thing. And there wasn't really any strategic coordination of this to say, okay, how are we doing with this? Let's make it so that it's easy for people to know what they're giving to and that they're not just constantly getting a call. Nobody likes that. And so how do you know you're giving towards something you really care about and that has a really big impact? That's what we want to do. Make it simple and make it have a big impact.
We'll talk about sort of all the other things one pack can mean. And even though it's kind of got its name first attached, people saw it from the fundraising side. But the other thing they're going to hear a lot about is, you know, a phrase you're going to hear a lot, and even when, like, Chris was hired or Ron Nelly, they're always going to talk about the connectivity. And I'm here to tell you that that's not a talking point, or it's not something you say because it's the word of the day to use in a press conference. I mean, at Arkansas State, there's a lot. A-State athletics and A-State fans should be very pleased with the fact that we have not just the chancellor, provost, but even the board and assistant president who embrace the notion, the sort of the front porch philosophy.
Sure.
That, you know, athletics structurally isn't the most important part of a university, but it's oftentimes where people base their first impressions. 1.7 million people watched the bowl game the night after Christmas. 1.1 million people saw the women's basketball team play on ABC in the NCAA tournament. That's where people build their impression about a university. So we're coming off back-to-back years of record-breaking performances in the Bubas Cup. So from an athletic side, selfishly, we'd like to think it's no coincidence that applications and enrollment numbers keep going up.
Oh, I think that that's right. I mean, on our side, we've definitely had to capitalize on that because we weren't being strategic about recruiting and we weren't being strategic about marketing. We are doing that now as well. And now we're combining it so that we're strategic about marketing and communicating with athletics helping us, right? And us helping athletics. So we're just maximizing our strengths so that we're all working together. So it's exponential, not just additive.
You always heard about just how much the enrollment at Alabama went up.
Oh my
after
gosh.
Nick Saban arrived.
Absolutely.
Well, the next big key is attainable because we've seen it in our league. App State had College Game Day in Boone a couple of years ago. In the 2 months, I think, following Game Day in Boone, applications to App State went up 25%.
I think our applications went up 200-300 just after beating Memphis. I mean, just next day, yeah. So there's a direct correlation for sure.
Yeah. Is that right? After the Memphis basketball win?
Oh, yeah. We can watch that stuff happen.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with A-State Chancellor Dr. Todd Shields here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Pretty neat. You had a commentary this past week in Arkansas Business Magazine and titled Collaborate to Grow. It focused on partnerships with the community and local industries. And I know that's something you really have focused on.
Well, we were talking about how dramatic higher education is changing, or athletics, sorry, first, but then overall higher education is changing. And, you know, the typical 18-year-old kid who comes to classes right out of high school, never took a concurrent class or an AP class, that's not the average student anymore. I mean, the average student now is coming in and they've got some college credit, or they're transferring in, or they go into the workforce and they take some classes part-time, or they go workforce full-time and take a class at night, then they come back into the education. It's this transition in and out of education, right? And it's really part of, like, I think, a lifelong learning process, that AI is going to change how all of us do stuff, and we'll all need upgraded and trained. So really making those partnerships with industries to know, what kind of a degree program do you need? It might not be a bachelor's degree. It might be a 10-month program that we put together just for your people that we deliver on site. But that's the type of partnership and the changes that higher education is going to have to make. And I think that those are exciting.
One back, again, goes beyond even as not, to athletics, to the whole thing. I've had conversations with you and heard you in a lot of conversations. And you'll give credit where credit's due. You spent a lot of time in Northwest Arkansas to see this happen there, to say that it's been very important for you, and you're always looking for ways to sort of shift Jonesboro from being a town with a university in it
to a university town. Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, being involved in the community, delivering what the community needs. So it's a win-win. I mean, if we're upskilling an incumbent worker at Hytrol, or if we're working with the steel industries, or we're working with Frito-Lay or Anheuser-Busch, great. Whatever, you know, an industry needs, if we can provide it, we'll provide it. It's a great way for the university to serve the community to serve the university. But that's what we really should be doing.
Yeah, it's one of the first things that you mentioned when you were hired. I remember 3 years ago sitting right here talking about it. And then you talked about kind of wrapping your arms around the steel industry and how big of a deal that is.
Absolutely. It's a huge deal. It's a game changer for all of Northeast Arkansas. And in my article, one of the things that I'm trying to get people to do is don't even think of themselves as towns or cities, but as a region. Yep. You know, think of yourself as the Northeast region, because we talk about Northwest Arkansas, and there's a reason you talk about that, because they did get along. They did have a university say, what are our top three things? There's lots of things that individual places that Bentonville didn't want or Fort Smith didn't want, but they all knew they wanted these three things. And then when a whole bunch of cities go after it, it's pretty difficult for people to ignore that.
It really is a model sitting right there, because how often, without even realizing it, if you're referring to University of Arkansas, do you at some point say Northwest Arkansas in that sentence? Maybe more, as often or more often than you say Fayetteville.
Yeah. You know, I don't talk about them very much, but when I got there, Fayetteville was 24,000 kids and were 13,000 kids at the University of Arkansas. You know, when I left, there were 32,000 kids at the University of Arkansas. In that area, it's like 500,000 people. That's because they were really strategic as a region, and that's where we can be too.
Well, it's a good transition, though, because I do want to mention enrollment. And we talked about all the good things, the reasons why enrollment might be up. But the numbers proven, you know, you go back to the fall of 24. Last year, it was up 12%, went over 16,000 for the first time in Arkansas State history. And then up 10% in the spring, and I'm sure you're looking for even
I never
bigger,
want to count
numbers.
My chickens before the hat, Matt. But all my indicators are saying we're going to beat that, too.
Wow.
Now, you know, barring something happening to Pell Grants or something happening that we don't know about, all of our indicators would suggest we'll be well over those.
And you run into the, quote, good problems. Mm-hmm. Waiting lists now for housing that just filled up for the first time post-COVID. You know, does that cause some people some headache?
It does. I want to do one clarification, though. There is this idea that we do have full housing, and we are close to that. We are not completely full. We're very close. There are still options. People aren't getting their first option. That's true. Gotcha. But there are second or third options still available. But we are very close. I'm assuming this fall we'll be completely full. Am I having conversations with people that own apartments and hotels about, could we do a deal because we may be over what we can house? Yes, we are. And that's not unusual for me. My kids, when they went to University of Arkansas, they were in their freshman year, they were in off campus in a dorm or in an apartment or in a hotel. My daughter was in a fall semester in a hotel.
All right. I want some updates on a few things. First off, the vet school.
Yes.
Are we still on schedule there?
We are. We're on schedule for our second visit, which is supposed to be the toughest visit, but we're on schedule for that in January. We passed that one, which we fully expect that we will. Then we'll start recruiting students for that fall.
So fall of 26.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll have our first cohort of vet students.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once that gets up to speed, we'll have over 400 students in that program as well.
It's just amazing. I love that we're that close to being a spot where you can come on this Arkansas State campus, and by the time you leave it, you can be a medical doctor. Now you can be a veterinarian. You know, one of the things that it took me way longer than it should have to do was tour ABI.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fascinating.
I mean,
you can see stuff that was made in that building that was on the International Space Station. Yes. I mean, it's really neat.
Yeah. New grains of rice with different DNA structures so it survives heat and that kind of thing, grows just faster than normal rice. It's cool stuff.
I was reading about this citizen science mosquito project.
Yes.
And man, the mosquitoes are worse than ever right now.
But they seem like, look, all this rain we got, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But like the university has teamed up with the city and
correct.
They're doing some kind of research project. What's that?
So the project is really trying to see where they're gathered, where they go. And that way, once you can find out like where they're traveling and where they're originating from, you can stop it at the place they begin. But yeah, we're working with the city on tracking and saying, okay, what are the ways we do to address this issue? I always come back and go,
That's a worthy project.
I was thinking back, you know, if Disney can do it and they're built on a swamp, we can do it. We just got to figure out how.
All right. Another thing that people are curious about is the entertainment district. Mm-hmm. Everybody was hearing a lot about that here in the last year. So where are we at on that?
So if you drive by Johnson and you look in University Loop, you hopefully will be able to see some construction on the pavilion. And, you know, knock on wood, barring any big problems, we should have that renovated and opened up by the fall semester. We'll still have Alpha Pack pregame parties there, but that'll be a place where it's kind of a proof of concept for us to say, okay, if we build something for students, will they show up and come? If they do, who else would like to be a part of this? But, you know, a lot of business owners and investors came in and said, look, we think it's a great idea, but we'd love to see a proof. And so we're using Pavilion, which is a building we were going to renovate anyway. We're just using that as a proof of concept for this. So hopefully it'll be ready for the first game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because ideally, you know, for people who may be hearing about the vision for the first time.
Sure. Okay.
Tell them kind of what you'd like to see that end up.
Sure. Well, if you talk to students, what students say is they love A-State. They feel like they're at home. But then what they feel like they're missing is a place that's really designed for somebody that's 26 and under, which I'm not it. Qualified to design. You know, I'll point out places that I go to and they go, we don't want to go to those places because old people like you go there. And I totally get it, right? And if you think about it, where are places that are saying, okay, this is a 23-year-old's heaven? I don't know of those. I'm not even sure I could design a 23-year-old heaven right now. But a lot of campuses have said, look, those are big markets for people if you'll come in and do that. And then if we can do it on campus, then we keep kids safer. They don't have to travel very far. They're close to home. They're right there with their friends, that type of thing. And so a lot of campuses have even designed a master plan for an entertainment district that will feed into their game day experiences and bring people out during that time period. And then through the week, it's a place where kids love to go. And it's a big recruiting tool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big recruiting tool.
Tell people about those phone calls you made.
I didn't know if you wanted me to tell you.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
So I always like to find out what our competitors are doing or saying about us. And so, you know, Matt, I would call up other places where we know students. They come to A-State, they think they're going to come here, they decide to go to Ole Miss or they decide to go someplace else. I would call them up and say, hi, I'm Brad Bobo, and I want to go to Ole Miss. But my girlfriend really wants to go to A-State, and I'm trying to talk her out of it. Help me talk her out of it. Just because I really wanted to hear what they'd say, but almost always say something really good about A-State. And I'm like, no, help me talk her out of it. Then they say, okay, tell her she's going to be bored. Tell her that there's nothing for a 26-year-old and under to do there. that was almost like it was rehearsed, because after I called six different places and got that answer, I was like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I know what they're using against us. We need an entertainment place for kids that are 23. That's kind of where it came from.
Yeah. It's needed, obviously, and people are going to be excited about it.
Well, and the great thing about A-State is a lot of places are landlocked. So, you know, University of Tennessee is doing something similar to this, not exactly, but similar. But they have to use the top of their parking deck to do it. So you'd have to take an elevator up, a parking deck. And that's what they're doing, because they're landlocked. They don't have a place to go. We've got plenty of places to expand and to see what might work and see what students would really like and that kind of thing.
You referenced Northwest Arkansas, and you said, hey, we don't talk about them very much.
I was going to say, I've talked about them more today than I'd like to.
But I do want to know, and look, for people who don't know your story, you did spend a lot of time over there.
I did.
And I'm sure there's a little trash talk about a game that's happening here in the next couple of months.
I'm excited,
you know? How excited are you about
the Arkansas excited.
Game?
No, I'm super excited. I think it's going to be a really fun time. You know, the group has been working on the pregame activities and then what we're going to do during the game and that kind of thing. They've been meeting weekly, I think, now since like February, putting all that stuff together and working with the city of Little Rock to pull off the best kind of game experience we can. I love the idea. Even when I was in Fayetteville, I thought, why aren't we having an in-state rivalry? There's lots of in-state rivalries that are fantastic. I thought that's something we should do.
So when you were here last, I can remember, you know, it was, as you said, get to know you. And yeah. We talked a lot about your stint as Miss America's dad. But now you're, since then, you're grandfather. Miss America's kid.
That's right.
How's that going?
Man, she's got me wrapped around her little finger. You know, all she's got to do is look at me, and I'm like, whatever you want, baby. She's sweet. You know, being a grandfather is fantastic. I mean, people told me that, and I was like, okay, I'm trying to figure out what you mean. But it's all the benefits of having a little kid, and they're excited to see you and all the love. But then, like, you know, okay, they're crying, or they need to go to bed, or they need changed. Oh, mom's here. It's the best of everything. And none of the bad parts.
A lot of good stuff going on right now. But I'm endlessly impressed from
you're too kind,
everything Matt. You're doing and just the energy that you have. And
I'll tell you what I'm impressed with is I'm impressed with the athletics department.
Yeah.
I mean, they have done so well. Without a lot of this one-pack collaboration we've talked about, they've done so well on, I don't want to say on their own, but you know what I mean? Working together, I'm really excited about what we can do. And, you know, Brad was mentioning it does go beyond fundraising, but you look at what athletics has been able to do from a facility standpoint, from an academic standpoint, from a compliance standpoint, from anything that we do, we've not really said, hey, how do we work together to make it even better?
I hope it's not lost on fans, because obviously people listen to this are our fans. So I hope it's not lost on just how well things are going across the board. But we got 16 sports and nobody's, you know, air quotes, down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two maddest programs we got are probably track and bowling, because they went 1 year and didn't win a conference championship or
man,
bowl for
amazing.
The national title. That's where you're at. Because now you can just be blunt about it. Going into this past year, this time a year ago, we could say the same thing, and we said, hey, nobody's down except maybe women's basketball. We don't know about them.
And they
went to the NCAA
story.
Tournament.
They're so like, fantastic.
So, I mean,
it's
really remarkable that everybody is on the upward trajectory at the same time.
And we're going to keep building on it.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, Coach Silva and I are flying out to look at an indoor facility next Monday afternoon, because that's kind of our next big project.
Okay.
Because recruiting for him is tough when a coastal or, you know, South Alabama can say, hey, come down here. You can practice all year round. The weather permits you to practice 365. The first step is, you know, an indoor facility so he can recruit kids and say, I can be your player development, increase your chances of going pro all year round. That's going to be a big selling point for him.
And I'm sure it's a little bit easier sell now when you say, look, Murray State can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can do it.
And look what Coach Silva did from a team in 1 year.
And again, I tweeted this right after the College World Series ended. As a head coach in the Sun Belt Conference, Mike Silva can walk into a kid's living room, look him in the eye, and say, you can win a national championship here.
Yep.
Because if you can get us good enough to win the Sun Belt, we can win the whole thing.
Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. And I would say, if I was a baseball player, who would I want to be coached by? I'd be coached by Mike Silva.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah,
hands down.
He's pretty
if I had a kid that was in baseball, I'd say, I know who you the best right, coach for you, man.
I'm with you.
He's extremely impressive.
And if I had a daughter playing basketball, I'd say Destiny Rogers is for you.
Heck
and
yeah.
There's nobody else I'd want them to play for.
I mean, we could sit here and talk all day long, but there's a lot of good stuff going on. And it was important for us to get you in here.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah. From enrollment to the academic side to the athletic side, I feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm excited about where we're going to be. So maybe have you back in 3 years and we'll talk about all the great things.
We appreciate you coming in, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We told you at the top of the program that we would let you in on one of the most amazing accomplishments in athletic history, probably, if we're being honest. Someone in this room hit his second.
Yeah.
Hole in one, that would be you, Brad Bowman.
It would.
I've got zero, but
these two were only didn't like much being 25 years apart. September of 2000, then fast forward to Monday, June 23rd, 2025, and
this was in a tournament
in the Saint Bernard's Triple Swing.
Yeah, I usually always play in this event with you. I actually was taking my daughter to camp, so I wasn't able to do it this time. So I missed this monumental day, and I'm able to look at my phone, and I see this text from you, and it says, "Wish you were here," which is not something you would normally say. And it's got a video attached to it, and, you know, you're walking up and grabbing the ball out of the hole, and, of course, I'm like, there's no way. He's already had a hole-in-one in his life. He's done it again. So you've calculated the odds of this happening twice, right?
Google. No, I don't know about twice. I mean, Google just says the odds of hitting one are approximately 1 in 12,500.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine.
But like I said, it's a lot of fun. It is fun. The story, like, my wife was playing on a different team. She was two groups ahead of me. I tried to actually FaceTime her as we were going to the green, and she didn't answer. So that's when I shot the video and to send it to her first, because we're playing a tournament. So, you know, a lot of times there are these hole prizes on these par threes. You know, they'll have a sign on the green, and typically it's, you know, whoever hits it closest to the hole wins a prize. Well, you can't get much closer than in it. So I was like, all right, there's a sign. I'm sitting there. I've got my phone out recording, and I was playing it down. I was downplaying the whole thing. We'll get up here and see if we can get closest to the hole. I walked up there, and the sign said, longest putt by a woman. And it's Paige Bobo, 7 feet, 6 inches. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I have hit a hole in one, and I can't win a hole prize because my wife made a putt from 7 feet away. You should get whipped for not making.
So my question to you when I text you back was it the hole where you win a car? No, because they've always got one of those out there at this tournament.
It was not. As I told you, I hit it in the pond on the hole where if you make it, you win a car. But no, so it was not. That's hole number 4 was where a car was on the line. This was on hole number 7 at Ridge Point. You know, a lot of fun. And honestly, I wish you'd have been there on a usual team, because the best part, honestly, was our buddy Scott Seiler. Of course, he says his favorite part was the look on my face when I turned around and looked at him after it went in. He'll tell you that's his favorite part.
That's what he told me.
My favorite part is that I didn't have to tell a soul I hit a hole in one, because Seiler was telling everybody we came across. He was driving out of his way to go find somebody else to tell. So really, I did not.
He was proud to be with you.
Yeah, it was. And I was proud he was too. Great event. I was telling, you know, Brandon and Kelly this morning, even when I was doing a show here, like St. Bernard's Triple Swing is a phenomenal event.
It really is. They do a great job with that.
And so I'm always just really flattered to even get to play in it. I mean, it really is just fun to go be a part of it. But yeah, to have a story now attached with it. You know, and there were some rumblings, and I shouldn't even say it because I can't confirm it. But I did have a buddy of mine after the round on Monday tell me he had thought he had heard a story before from some St. Bernard's people who had said there'd never been a hole-in-one hit in triple swing.
Really?
Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, you did make history.
I would love to be able to confirm that. I'd take that.
Now, did you tell Mike Hagan and MJ Davian Shaw about this?
I did tell Coach Hagan because I saw him Tuesday morning early when he came in the office. He walked by and said, "How's it going?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to lie. It's going pretty good." I was like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And then MJ saw it when my wife posted. She saw it on social media, so she commented and came in and was bowing down to me in the office. But it really...
That's the normal day.
I mean, obviously, it's luck because as a golfer, you just make the swing and then your part of it's done.
Yeah.
Like, right? You're done and you stand and watch. It's either going in or it doesn't. And 12,499 times, it doesn't. But no, it was cool. Good memory. The one I hit in 2000, I was playing a two-man scramble with one of my best friends at Fox Hills in Paragould, the course we grew up playing or came up playing. So I tell him, ultimate team guy, I only hit holes in one in scrambles. I never do it playing by myself. just a team guy here. That's it.
Well, at least you're guaranteed witnesses when that happens.
That's true, yeah. The part of the story I wanted to tell, and it really goes back all the way to Christmas of 2023, my older kids, it's really kind of the first time they had both been working. They had their own money to buy Christmas gifts, you know. And they bought me a dozen Pro V1s. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for something to do besides just put a wolf head on it or even just put my name on it. So they bought me a dozen Pro V1s and put my Twitter handle on them. That's what's on the side. I'd been really, really picky about when I hit those balls because I don't want to lose them. It was a thoughtful gift. And so over the weekend, I saw a sleeve of those balls sitting in the rack by my golf bag. And I saw there were ones with my Twitter handle on them. And I intentionally said, I'm going to put those in my bag, play them at triple swing. But out of this sleeve, I'm only going to lose two of them because I don't know if I've got another sleeve or not. So I'm not going to risk losing them all. I want to play this ball at triple swing, but I'm only going to lose two of them. And so that was the ball I was hitting Monday, the one my kids bought me with my Twitter handle on it. And so now it'll go up on the wall.
Now, I was told by Scott Seiler that you then teed off with that ball.
I did.
And you realized it after you hit the shot.
I don't want you to bleep me. But I did, because I teed off first on number 7. So, like, the rest of our guys didn't even hit, because I went first and hit a hole in one. So I go in and hit tee off on 8, a hole at Ridge Point that's got water running down both sides of it. Somehow, like, I hit it in the middle. And about the time the ball stopped rolling, I said, I just hit that ball. Divine intervention kept me from hitting it in the water.
A shot in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, because by that time, when we got to it, I swapped it out, put that in a separate pocket in the bag, and, yeah, that won't get hit again.
Yeah, need to hold on to that one.
It's in the desk drawer at home, but like I said, it'll end up on the wall as soon as we get something to put it in.
All right, we're right in the middle of summertime now. Yep. So anything else going on we need to talk about?
Yeah, I just remind people to get those tickets, get their season tickets, get their tickets to the game in Little Rock. You can get both of those at astateredwolves.com/tickets. If you're looking for an economical football option, you can still call the ticket office and get 4 Upper East season tickets for $150.
Wow.
For what I think is the best home schedule maybe in the history of the program, honestly. And we could take a little deeper dive in that some other week if you want. But by the time you're listening to this, the volleyball schedule's out, and there's some pretty marquee stuff on it. So get those volleyball tickets, the defending Sunbelt champs. People are coming in every day and renewing their basketball tickets or buying new men's and women's basketball season tickets. So just start making your plans now. We talked about with Dr. Shields what the last 2 years have been like. There's no reason to think this 25-26 year is going to be any different than just building on what's happened these last couple of years.
We really enjoyed, and we always enjoy, visiting with Dr. Shields. Appreciate him coming in. Shout out to Julie Wyatt. Yep. She's fantastic.
Oh, man. He's got a good one.
Is there anybody better at what she does? I mean, she's fantastic and just a joy to be around, but appreciate her helping make that interview happen today. This is 199, so next episode,
wow,
a big one. Who knows who might be in here as our special guest for episode 200.
I tell you who doesn't know. Us. So literally when he says who knows, come find out.
We've got a couple in mind, but we will unveil that on our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and First National Bank.